You are listening to a Bible talk recorded at the 2011 Western Christadelphian Bible School at Manuka. The speaker is Mark DiLiberto with his second class in the series on the subject of healing. This address is entitled Steps 1 through 4 and was recorded on July 26, 2011.
All right, so one of the disadvantages of being second is you're like a piece of sandwich meat. You get cut off from the front and you get cut off from the back, so we got to get going, and we've got a lot to cover today. Some of you have asked me, would there be any interactive discussion? It all depends on how much you agree with me. We keep it low on the disagree. If you agree with me, I'll open this up as much as you want. And I'll give you an example why maybe I avoid that sometimes. Someone brought up to me a contradiction to what I said yesterday, and we've got to get that solved real quick. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to look at Luke 5, 27 through 32. One of the points we made yesterday is that, and it's great having all you young people here. I'm with you. I hope you can hear me, and I hope this is relevant for all of us. And believe me, I have you in mind when I say that. But Luke 5, 27 through 32 brings up a contradiction. What was the point we made? That this class, in dealing with healing, affects us all. Young, old, male, female, married, single, doesn't matter. It has an effect on us all. Because everyone... Well, if this conclusion is right, and this is where the contradiction is, everyone needs healing. If any of you are thinking, or Mark DiLiberto, are you thinking that I don't need any healing? This class really is going to be very irrelevant for you. So this verse got brought up to me, and I said, okay, let's take a look at it. Somebody could read that for me. Who's a good reader, Paul?
Luke 5:27. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners?
All right, now keep your ears open. Here's the contradiction.
And Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
What's the contradiction? If you're righteous, if Mark DiLiberto is righteous, I don't need a physician. That's a contradiction. If some of you are righteous, if I'm righteous, why am I talking about healing? You're healed. You're in good shape. You're healthy. You're strong, spiritually well. Any answers? Again, I don't want to take all the burden here. What's the answer to that?
All right,
typical Christadelphian. One at a time. Start off. John, I heard something from you.
There's none righteous. There's no, not one.
None righteous. Anyone else?
All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
Which means what? Therefore, if all have sinned. Yeah, right. And we need healing. Jesus came for the unrighteous. So why would he say, look, I didn't come to heal. They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Was that a tongue-in-cheek statement? You know, I think it was. I think Jesus was making this statement technically, but he really didn't mean that no one needed him. Because we've just pointed out two verses that say everyone needs healing to some degree or another. Now, one thing I didn't say yesterday is this. The need for healing for all of us comes in cycles. Now, follow me on this. This has to be true. If it's not, we're in really bad shape. There are times in our lives, and I think some of you can relate to this, where you feel you're at the peak. And then there are times where life circumstance, whatever's coming into your life, you come down to the valley. Is that true for most of us? Has anyone here ever been at the peak all the time? Besides Randy Tyra, who speaks with forked tongue often. No one has been at the peak all the time. Now, the way I believe God planned his world is that when Randy's peaking, MD might be going downhill. And it's the... Okay, now, I'm going to tell you this. This is a fairly emotional thing for me because we're not talking about academics anymore. We're talking about life, real life now. And for those of you who've been through problems and trials and needed healing, this is going to mean a lot to you as it means to me. Let me make my point. Regather my thoughts. Mark, go ahead. Randy Tyra, when he is peaking, he needs to help MD, who's bailing. That's how it works. That's why, I can't get ahead of myself, though. That's why there's an ecclesia. That's why we have, I'm going to leave it there. So it's not a contradiction. We all need help. We all need healing. And though Christ says, look, it's only the sinners that need repentance, we are all sinners. We need repentance. We need the physician. Okay. So no contradiction, right? Don't leave here saying, Mark, you don't know what you're talking about. That was G. Then we talked about the easier statement, whether it's easier to heal, to forgive or to heal. And I think we all said that, look, it was the greater thing to heal the inside because that was the eternal healing. Remember, the man who was healed of the paralysis is dead. He's dust. But if he was healed in the deeper way, in the inner way, he has hope of this great life, which our brother Adrian talked about this morning. And I really do believe in the power of positive thinking. And I don't want to sound like somebody who concentrates on the negative. It is a positive thing, the truth. It is something we should see as a hope and good news as opposed to like the worst thing that could happen. And okay. All right. Electronics. We talked about being part of the problem or part of the solution. And we know where we're at with that. Hopefully we will all be part of the solution. Next point. It will get personal. The nature of this subject will get personal. I do not mean it to be. I am not zeroing in on any issue, on any individual, on any group. These are general principles that hopefully you could apply and I could apply to our own lives. I am not trying to point out or single out any individual group or anything like that. But it will get personal. I'm trying to lay down what I see to be sound scriptural principles and apply them in our lives. So, if you want to write down the purpose of this class, we're actually going to begin now. The purpose of the class is to glean the abundance of information on the principles of healing from the scripture. And then by application of these principles, become better physicians for ourselves, for our ecclesias, and for the body of Christ. to become part of the part of the solution and avoid being part of the problem. That's it in a nutshell. That's a big nut. So if you want to rewrite that any way you can, that's what we're trying to do. What does the scriptures talk about concerning healing, and how do we apply it in our everyday lives so it could help us through this life? And the last point before we begin. There is no magic formula for healing. Don't come to this class thinking, well, Mark's going to give us actually, they're going to be 12 steps. He's going to give us 12 steps. All I got to do is follow the 12 steps and I'll be healed. It does not work that way. And I'll give you an example. How many of you have raised children? Raise your hand. Okay. Now, what textbook did you use to raise your child?
Parenting with
Love
and Logic.
The what?
Parenting with Love and Logic.
How many children have you? No, I didn't. I never looked that way to call any. No. Well, I'll put you on a spot, Rachel. You have how many children do you have?
Two.
You got bigger problems. This is not the class for you. Okay. How many children? Two children, boy, girl. Now, honest question.
You could ask
them. Oh, where? Okay, but they're not really. Okay, you might respond to the answer you're going to hear. But look, don't get excited and you're 10 feet off the ground. Don't jump down here, okay? All right, with that being said, did you approach them in the same way for the same issues? No way, right? Why not? Didn't you just plug in a little thing? Okay, if they do this, I'll do this. If that happens, I'll do this. Why not? Right. Because why? Why are we treating same parents, two children, why won't they treat them identical? Yeah, these are two different people. And here's one. What worked for the son may not work for the daughter. Haven't you found that out? I have two kids, believe it or not. Sarah and James, there's no way I approach James the same way I did Sarah. I would look at Sarah and she'd start, "Oh, Dad, I can't know that." James, I'll share this with you. He'll like this. James was a little tougher, a little thicker skull. And once in a while, I had to use physical restraint on James. Why? Because they're different. And it's no different with healing. Healing is an individual thing. So I can't tell you, well, look, if I'm going through a hardship now, all you got to do is A, B, C, and D. You have got to formulate for yourself. And this is why God gave us the principles. He said, look, here's all the tools. Is Chris here? Carlson? He's got a bunch of tools that builds a house. He's got to determine which tools at what time is necessary to build the house. So we who are trying to heal ourselves have got to listen to the principles, look at all the tools and say, okay, I need this, I need this, and I need that. That's why what we're going to present is just a series of steps toward healing. It's your work and my work to individually apply it. So don't go away from this saying, okay, I wrote down the 10 steps toward healing, and that's what's going to fix me. No, that's not what this is about. This is about talking about these principles for you to apply them and do the work in your own life and my own life. Okay? This coffee is good, but it's not caffeinated, so it's a problem.
Ha ha.
Okay, I need a little more energy here. Oh, this is a side comment about the raising of the children, too. Us, those of us who have gone through the raising of children, have you talked to the new parents? Have you talked to the new parents? I don't know how we survived. I can't. I bought my granddaughter a little pretty. Remember Melody and my little sweet niece. Granddaughter. I bought her a crib. I figured, what big deal? In fact, I have the crib for my kids. I was going to give my crib to my daughter. Oh, wait. You can't have a crib that slides down, opens up. It's got to be a new, totally new crib. Hey, wait a second. I got a car seat for you, too. Oh, no. No, that's all gone, too. How did we survive? So my kids now, my daughter is telling her father, this is what we're going to do to raise our child. I mean, they got it all laid out. They got it. What do you call that on a spreadsheet? They got a spreadsheet. You know, 3 to 5 months, 8 to 10, then I'll do this, and they'll do this, and they'll do this. And of course, what are we saying? Wait a little bit. Just wait a little bit.
It's not gold, is she?
Okay, all right. Yeah, I'm amazed. I just get totally amazed. I'll share this with you. Now keep, are you taping this?
Yes.
Brother Adrian said, be courageous. Say what you got to say. Yeah, he doesn't have to go back to New Jersey. Okay. But I'll share this with you. My son James, during the period when he was about 17, 18, The baggy pants were in. I don't know if they still are. Doesn't really matter. But I mean, they wore pants that legs, you could have fit 3 elephant trunks in there, no problem at all. And there was he was about, again, 18 years old. And there was a brother in our meeting that had these little toddlers, 2, 3, 4 years old, you know, all toeing the line. And he would bust me every week. What? How are you allowing your kid to wear these pants, these baggy, worldly, thingy, booga, ba? So I said, you know, I'm no names. Let's not mention names. Brother, I said, no, I'm not going to tell you. There's no way. It's on tape. I can't. Let's just say in general, I just said his day will come. And as time would have it, it did. Those cute little toddlers who all towed the line, they're now teenagers. Not that I have anything wrong against teenagers. They're great. Okay. All right. Step number one, we're actually going to start. Step number one. This is going to sound very cliche-ish, but it is not. I firmly believe this has always been step one in the healing process. Where does it begin? Remember we said this already. If your Ford or Chevy has a problem, go to the builder. So primary step number one is we go to the maker or the physician who has made us. Let's read a couple of verses just to kind of back this up. Hebrews 4:12. I need to get some people to read. Hebrews 4:12. Rand, you want to do that? Hebrews 4:12. And sisters and brothers. I don't really mind if sisters. We got some sisters that like to read, that could read. Hebrews 4:12, and then the next one will be from Psalm 119, 97 to 105.
Ready?
Yep.
Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharp, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart.
You can't, there's no pill, there's no osmosis of God's word. You've got to, we have got to read and get God's word in our system. That's the food. That's where the process begins. Is that better? Could they see me? No, see, it's blocks. All right, I'll put this over here, and then I'll talk from over there. Okay. So it starts with the input, the right input of God's word. Is that the only way we get connected to God? Of course, again, Adrian was hinting at other aspects. How else do we get connected to the builder? That's right. That's right. Is it that loose? Okay. That's okay. That's a. Talk about healing. I'll work on this tonight. I'll work on it. That's okay. Thanks anyway, Jim. Appreciate it.
That's how the healing process works.
That's how the healing process works. Okay. Totally messed my thing. That's okay. There we go. Okay. So what's the other aspect? Reading of the word and?
Prayer.
We have the privilege of being able to connect with God in prayer. Okay. So what does that mean as far as healing? Could you think of an example in Scripture? I'll give you a hint to maybe get you where I want to go. There was a mother. Actually, she wasn't a mother. That was the problem she had. Okay. Where's that found? Where's it found? Let's turn to that real quick. That's a very, very, to me, effective example of this. It's 1 Samuel... First chapter, and we're not going to read it. We're just going to summarize it, what happened here. It is a story about Hannah. And what was Hannah's problem? What wound did she have? Okay. Now, what do you think was the response of the people around her? Maybe some of us maybe would respond the same way. Now, Hannah did not have a disease. She was not an invalid. She was not having severe sores on her body. She didn't have a child. So some people probably told her, and I'm sure they did, especially if there were Christadelphians in her midst, they probably told her, come on, Hannah, really? Not having children? Marco, you want to say something?
When are you going to have a grandparents?
End of the class. To respond?
No, I'm just saying, you're saying, what would people say?
I can't hear you.
Oh, he's giving examples.
The parents would
of what
say,
people
when are we going to have grandchildren?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, that's a good one. I never pressured, unfortunately, I never did that to my kids, but yeah, we do that, don't we? Yeah. Hey, not for anything, James. When are we going to produce? not good. General rule of thumb, don't do that. Believe me. It's like telling your young people, I'd like to see you date her. Death, that is. You will guarantee there is no way they're going to date. Okay. Here's the point I want to make about Hannah. Not having a child. So what? You're healthy. You've got a husband who loves you. You're doing pretty good at work. You're paying the bills. Why would you be so worried about having a child? Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, it was. Okay, that, and that's true. That's a true thing. Then having children was a.
I think it's important to know why she's so upset over this.
Yeah, because she weeps sorely. I mean, going to the story, you got to read the story. This is not like she's, you know, comes to her once in a while and she. She is actually almost obsessed with this, having this child. Pete?
Obviously, sin was involved.
Yeah.
He was a sinner in some way. That's what people would have thought.
I was going to say, Pete, yeah, you almost knocked me over with that one. Okay, all right. All right. But that, yeah, that exactly. What did you do, Hannah, to merit this severe punishment from God? I definitely. Definitely would have heard that, yeah.
Well, her husband had another wife, and the other wife provoked her. Right. It was a very similar situation to Hagar and Sarah.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because the woman that had the children felt she was now superior. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. All right, so what does she do? She entreats the Lord for children. And let's sorry, I can't spend too much time here. She treats the Lord for children. She actually is, I think, if you remember the story correctly, I think they actually think she's drunk.
Yep.
Right? Because she's so into what she was saying. She was, I think her mouth was moving, but nothing was coming out. Okay? You'd love that to happen to me, wouldn't you? But no, no. But Hannah, they actually thought she was drunk. They wanted to put her away. Hannah, you can't be. That's how involved. Okay. So she had a wound. And what would be the point I'm making here? To you and I, it may be a nothing. Hannah, what's the big deal? You're still healthy. You still got time to live. You got a good husband. The point I'm making here is the wound for Hannah was her wound. You see. See, you start thinking of things and I got to stay focused on what I'm here for. Hannah, the wound was in her hand, not mine, not yours, hers. So to her, this was a mountain. This was a major problem for Hannah. And she turned to God with it. And God didn't say, Hannah, why are you being so puny in your thinking? Don't worry about it. What did God do? Sum it up. What was the result of her request? Promised she would donate and dedicate that child to God for the life, right? Which basically meant you're not going to enjoy the everyday like a normal child would. But you know what, Lord? If you give me a child, he's yours. So everybody ends the story there. Except us, I hope. What happens later? Beautiful. Find the verse, because I don't know if I actually have it down. 2:21, yep. Next reader. Anybody have a Bible? Read it. Go ahead.
And the Lord was gracious to Hannah. She conceived and gave birth to 3 sons and 2 daughters. Meanwhile, the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord.
So how many children did Hannah bear? The Lord, it wasn't enough just to give her Samuel. What a great blessing. Samuel, one of the greatest prophets in the Old Testament. Oh. Was it six more?
No, five more.
Five more with, yeah. So she had a total of six children. Not bad. Not bad. And this is the kind of response we get if we entreat the Lord for our problems, even though they may seem puny to us. Okay, so step one, if you're writing down notes, step one is connecting with the builder through word and prayer, and you could fill in other blanks. There are other paths, but those are the two main ones I think the scriptures is very clear about. Okay, step number two. Ready? Recognition of the problems that exist in me, in my ecclesia, and in the brotherhood. But you notice which one I started with? Again, let me read it again. Recognition of the problems that exist in me, in my ecclesia, in the brotherhood. There's many what we call 12-step programs in the world around us for people who have addictions. And one of the first things, and I'll tell you what, the guy who started this program, he knew the Christadelphians because he read his Bible and he knew what he was talking about. And here, this was his first point. The first step to healing an alcoholic or anyone who's addicted or any issues that you might have is what? I am one. You cannot resolve conflict, problems, without a recognition that you got it. You can't do it. It starts with me. It starts with me concerning my defects first and primary. Any verses? Because, you know, without verses, this is just an Eastern voice. That's all it is. Give me a verse clearly teaches that principle. Really? That's not in the Bible. You are right, but it's found in Matthew 7. Let's take a look at that real quick. Matthew 7. Krista, why don't you read that since you brought it up? Matthew 7, first few verses, up to verse 5. I actually have two really good verses for this. This is the primary one. So let's read it. Let's read it. That's interesting. Okay, that speck is... any other alternatives for speck? Any other versions?
Log.
Log. Hopefully not. No, the speck is the little thing. The speck... Splinter.
Straw.
Sawdust. What? Moat. I think you got them all. Here's what I found. Speck of sawdust, twig, grain of dust, splinter. Oh, splinter. We're going to get into splinters in a little while, but splinters. As opposed to what's the alternative? What's the description of the other thing? What did your version say? What's in your eye?
A log.
A log. Any other options on log?
Plank.
Plank. Beam. Does anyone understand, besides Chris, what a beam is?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah.
Let me say, yeah, there you go. There you go. That is a beam. All right, let's be realistic. Let's take it from the two points over here. Shrink it down a little. You know what? Let's make it even better. Just take the one that's going vertical. That's a beam. If that was in your eye, how clear do you see the speck in your brother's eye? I mean, it's almost a joke. You can't see the speck. That's the point. It's not that, well, if you look around the beam and if you come on, you can't see it. Your eyeball's this big. This beam is this big. You can't see the speck. Okay. I want to read the other verse before we explain this. Has anyone ever gotten a verse from Lamentations to prove something?
No.
I don't think I've ever gone to Lamentations. This is our chance. Lamentations 3:40. Take a look. I forget sometimes Lamentations is a book, but you know what? This is a gem here, brethren. This is a gem. Lamentations 3. I didn't know if Lamentation had a chapter with 40 verses, but 3:40. Who could read this for me? Go ahead. 3:40, Lamentations. Read it again. Well, okay, but read it again louder because I couldn't hear.
Let us search and try our ways and turn again to Jehovah. Let us lift up our heart with our hands to God in the heavens. Let us lift up our hearts with our hands unto God into the heavens.
Randy, you want to read more?
Well, it goes with what you were saying. We have transgressed and have rebelled. Thou hast not pardoned. Thou hast covered with anger and persecuted us. Thou hast slain. Thou hast not pitied. You know, God is emphasizing the fact that they have sinned.
Right.
And they need his help.
Right. But what is our responsibility? What is it saying we should do? Examine our ways. Testing our ways. Brethren, that's self-examination. We're not sitting next to our brother on a Sunday morning figuring, let's see, Paul Sharp. Got a couple of dirt marks here, a little bit over here. No, it's us. Examine our ways, self-examination first. Now, here's the question for you. Let me get back to it. Testing our ways and returning to the Lord. What is the inference by that statement? You're always going to find something wrong. When you examine yourself, let me tell you, if you can't find anything wrong, maybe there's something wrong in the way we're examining ourselves. Because the inference of this verse is that you better get returning back to the Lord. Not that he's threatening, but he's trying to get you to think that, get yourself examined, return back to God in his ways. Go ahead, Marco.
Here's another one for Lamentations.
Oh, two in a lifetime.
2:14.
Lamentations?
Yes, sir.
All right, hold on, because this is great. Am I saying it wrong? Go ahead, Lamentations 2 what?
2:14. Your prophets have seen for you false and deceptive visions. They have not exposed your iniquity to restore your fortunes, but have seen for you oracles, false and misleading.
Right.
So the idea of admitting iniquity.
Why am I making such a big issue of this? Me? No, I'm sorry. I'm not making a big issue of it. The Lord is making a big issue of it. Christ repeats it. Lamentation supports it. Why are we making a big issue? It will have a great effect, this point, this number 2, on how you approach your brother with a speck. That's why I'm spending time here. Think about it. I don't want to go there yet. I really don't want to go there yet. But I just want you to know how important this is going to be. If you approach a brother or a sister with a problem, which we're going to find you're going to might need to do in this life, and you will need to do. If you approach them with the idea, I'm going to summarize this, all these verses in one term. If you approach the brother or sister with the belief that there's no dirt under your nails, do you think that's going to affect how you approach them?
Yes.
You could bet. I don't know. You're not betting people here. You could count on it. You could absolutely count on it. If you come to an individual and think, if Mark DiLiberto thinks, perfectly clean, it will have an incredible effect on how you approach your brother. We'll get into that later. Okay. Two verses from Lamentation. I say that's great. That's great. Let's go back. Because I got, if I don't get to step three, we're falling behind. So, do I want to say any more about the speck, the sawdust?
Mark, if you'll allow me to say one small thing about the speck. A speck is so small that it doesn't even fit on a speck. That when I read this verse, I think if I am so busy looking for a speck on you, I'm looking so hard to find some tiny, itty bitty flaw on you.
Yeah.
That is my flaw.
Sure. Right.
Either good or bad.
Right.
I'm looking for some tiny flaw in everyone around me. That is the thing. That is the thing that I'm looking for.
I'm going to unveil something for you that I know you know already, just by saying that. Do you know why you'd like to find that speck?
Makes you feel better about yourself.
Oh, man, I feel good. Because I'm not poor. In fact, we got a story about that we're going to talk about. Christ uses that analogy. Not analogy, he makes a parable of it. When I see the specks in him, man, I'm not too bad. It takes the focus off of me, puts it on him. That's why we do it. It's a natural course of life, which we've got to change. We definitely got to change. Okay. But that's a good observation. This one you might not agree with. Doesn't really matter. Adrian's here. He's encouraging me to stand fast. Does it say in 7th chapter of Matthew, don't worry about the speck in your brother's eye? That's right. You see, extremes beget extremes. Really? We could talk about that for a few hours with our brethren, can't we? But here's an extreme that I'll tell you, we better avoid. Some have gone so far with this idea, you got to get first examine yourself and get it out of your own system, that there's no time, no effort, no cause to ever worry about the speck in your brother's eye or your sister's eye. It's not true. And the verse doesn't say that. It's saying, listen, if you want to take the speck out of Mark D's eye, don't come at me with the log in your own. Take care of your own thing. And then, because it doesn't say don't worry about it. It says deal with it, but don't. That's not our focus. That's not where our focus is. There is a time to be concerned about the speck in our brother's eye. Scriptural or not? Are we really ever to be concerned about the problems that our brothers are having? Yes. Yep. But I'm not, don't take it from me. What would you use to support that?
Galatians 6, verse 1.
Ooh. Galatians 6, verse 1. You got to hold that. That's a great verse. And that's going to be in the next step. But hold that verse. Yeah.
Then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye.
Right.
There is a problem.
Right. How many of you wear contacts? Few? Well, not many. Few up there, too. Could I ask you a question? You get a speck of dust in your contact. Is it a big deal? Anybody, look, my wife, I can't pop it, pull in, I can't even look. It's, she does things that are beyond comprehension. So it bothers her. It bothers her. So we gotta really address the speck. We can't just ignore it. All I'm saying is the emphasis right now is first get the beam out of your own eye, and then we'll deal with the speck in our brother's. I want two examples, scriptural examples, that say that's the truth. We are responsible to some degree for our, because if we weren't, this class is meaningless. Where would you go to prove the brethren have a responsibility towards the problems of their of the brethren? Yeah, Marco?
Cain and Abel, am I my brother's keeper?
What's the answer to that? That's right. That's right. Ezekiel. He's looking. You know, one thing about John, he comes up to my cabin, he types in my computer, and he gets all of that. So he looks real good when he quotes the verse. No, I take that back. That's not. Is that on tape too? No, don't. Where is that found? Ezekiel 3. Let's look at one of them. It's found twice in Ezekiel. It's Ezekiel 3, John, and 33, I think. Let's look at Ezekiel 3 real quick. Someone got it? Could read that? Ezekiel 3. We got to get the verse, though.
There is no 33 in 3.
Never contradict the teacher. Not good. I'm going to keep you here 15 extra minutes now.
How about six, verse 16?
Chapter 3. No.
17.
Class. Don't get carried away. Chapter 3 and chapter 33 have the story. Okay. That being said, 3, what verse in 3?
17.
Next reader. Someone read that. 3 and 17? Yeah, go ahead.
Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning for me.
When things were going wrong with Israel, they were commanded to watch. And if they saw something, let me give the actual example. They saw the enemy coming, which I think represents problems and things that come into our lives. They were to do what? Blow the trumpet. Sound the alarm. Okay? Sound the alarm. For what purpose? What if the watchman said, you know what? I'm not getting involved with her problem, with his problem. I'm just going to keep my mouth shut and mind my own business.
Then you're wearing it.
Ooh. You sure?
It says right there in verse 20.
Read it. Read it. That's right. I'm agreeing with you.
Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require at thine hand.
Why? You kept quiet. You did nothing. Your brother was in trouble, and all you did is make excuses to say, silencio, Italian, don't say nothing. That's what it means. Silencio. What is that? Spanish. Don't matter. On the reversal, if he does blow the trumpet, and whether the person reacts to it or not, is he okay?
Yeah.
Blood isn't on his head anymore.
And there's a verse about that, but I can't think of what it is.
Well, there's two verses that say that, but we got to conclude. We can't research now. So let's bring this to a head. So you have a responsibility for your brother's speck. We are not here just to worry about ourselves. Although that's where the focus has got to start. the beam, the log, get it out. But our brother's speck is also important. We've got to be concerned about them. It doesn't say, now watch this. It says blow the trumpet. It doesn't say play the symphony. Think about that. You know what? Blow the trumpet and keep quiet. What we do is we get the whole band playing, you see. We're every Sunday, boy, we're going to make sure that that brother or sister knows I'm blown. Brethren, wrong approach. That's it. We'll see you tomorrow.